Parsha Shmini can be divided very easily into three sections. The Yom HaShmini, right, the eighth day, the dedication of the Mishkan. Then we have, that's chapter 9. Chapter 10 is the death of Nadav and Avihu and the immediate aftermath of that, which is just the first of the only two narratives in the book of Vayikra. The second one is the story of the Mikhalel, the Megadef, the guy who curses God towards the end of Parsha's Emor. And then the Parsha rounds out with the rules of kosher. And so that's what you have. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a nice amount on the Yom HaShmini. We're going to spend a lot of time on the death of Nadav and Avihu, just because it's fascinating. And then a little bit in the at the very end of the tail end of the Parsha. And hopefully we'll get a nice overview of the Parsha through the eyes and the lens of the Or HaChaim, which will carry us for this week. Okay. So we have the beginning of the Parsha, Vayibah Yom HaShmini. Now, of course, the Yom HaShmini follows from the all the setup that's been talked about in Vayikra, and of course in the latter half of Tzav, Vayikra Tzav, and mostly the latter half of Tzav, which has set the stage for the Yom HaShmini, for the eighth day. So Vayibah Yom HaShmini Karo Moshe Aaron Levanel Uzignei Yisrael. So Moshe, on this eighth day, calls to Aaron and Aaron's sons, and to the elders of Israel, and he gives Aaron instructions about kachlecha egel ben bakar lechatas. Now that Aaron has to take an egel. Now, of course, when we hear the word egel, what do we think about? The egel, right? The golden calf. So there are a lot of mefarshim talk about what the purpose of Aaron specifically having an egel as a chatas, as a sin offering. And then what do the Bnei Yisrael have to take as a chatas? Next pasuk, v'al Bnei Yisrael to daber leimor. And to the Bnei Yisrael, you are going to tell them and to take a seirizim, a goat, as a chatas. Now it's interesting. Who's supposed to tell the Bnei Yisrael?
Aaron.
Right. So look at the pasuk. Right. What does the pasuk say? Vayomer el Aaron. He says to Aaron, "You take an egel." The El Bnei Yisrael to Daber, and you will tell the Bnei Yisrael. In other words, you, Aaron, are going to tell the Bnei Yisrael to take an ayel. If it's not God telling Moshe, and you know, you have to tell Aaron the first pasuk, and tell the Bnei Yisrael the other one. It's what God said to Moshe. I'm sorry, it's what Moshe says to Aaron. El Bnei Yisrael to Daber Elimor. Okay, so we'll get into some of these points that the Or HaChaim is going to highlight. Okay, so the first thing that the Or HaChaim says, it's on page 1, is Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, Tzarech Adas Matam Omar Vayhi. Why does the pasuk begin with the word Vayhi? In Maseches Megillah, Rabbi Levi, Davar Zeh Masoros Beit Enemi, Anshei Knesset Gedolah, Kol Mekom Shenomer Vayhi in Rav Lashon Tzar. When you have the word Vayhi at the very beginning of a passage, as we know from Megillah, Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh, it indicates something which is painful, right? Unfortunate, a negative story. Now, the Or HaChaim, I skipped. If you look on, this is my original, right? I skipped all of this stuff. He talks about the debate between Rabbi Levi and Rabbi Ashi regarding that. One of the viewpoints that's suggested here is that it's Vayihi Bimei, which is the Lashon Tzar, when it says Vayihi Bimei, and maybe it's not really applicable here. But I thought that his concluding word here was something which is just at the very least compelling, and that's what I gave you. The next paragraph, Ulai Nireh, oh. Now, what's the Vayihi? If indeed Vayihi is Tzar, right? So you can say that it's a premonition, right? Because we know what's going to happen at the end of the story. The end of the story is the death of Nadav and Avihu. But if you say no, if you say that it's something else, that, you know, why should, that it's really at this point that you have the Tzar, then he says maybe it's the Tzar of Moshe. Why? Because he saw his own greatness and that of his children in the hands of Aaron and his sons. Okay, in other words, what Moshe was supposed to get, and what Moshe's sons should have gotten, who has it? Aaron and his sons. Okay, and that, you know, look, it's your brother, you love him, but painful. It's Elamat, Sarah Kina, Midavar Tov. Right? And you can see what jealousy does, even though it's a good thing. Right? And it's a little different what we have here, because Right? Right. That's a quote regarding Pinchas. But the idea is that it goes forever. Remember when Moshe started getting it's actually the very beginning at the burning bush. But Moshe says, I don't want to go to Paro. Remember? What does God say to him? Hello, Aaron Achicha Halevi. Right, your brother Aaron Halevi, he's the guy who's going to help you. At that point, what was Aaron? He was just a Levi. He wasn't going to be a Kohen. Who was going to be the Kohen? Moshe was going to be the Kohen. But Moshe doubled down. He says, no, Shlach Nabi Atishlach. Send somebody else, not me. So guess what?
That's why he lost his
kuhuna. That's why Moshe lost his kuhuna. Zavomios Kohen the Elam. He loses it forever. Moshe might be thinking, God, you were joking. You know, okay, let's let bygones be bygones. Comes the time, comes the judgment day, and it's dire. Elisha Parach Menu Oz Tiferes Kunas Olam. He realizes, no, this is the real deal. Aaron's God, it's not me. And also, because the fact of the matter is that who is Moshe? Moshe's a tzaddik, he's an anav. Halo kol lev chai margish, who prophet devar. Mitzvah, right? You see what the value of that which Aaron is attaining here, and for Moshe, you know, it's difficult. Right? Remember, where was that? That was in the previous two chapters back. Go ahead, it's in, where is it? Tzav. The first pasuk in Parag Zayin, right? No, that's not correct.
No,
That could not be it can't be Zion Aleph. That's not correct. Is Parak Mem Pasuk Aleph? It's in Pekudei.
Yeah.
I don't know why he says Zion Aleph. That's strange.
7-1 also.
Yeah, but 7-1 what?
In
Bamidbar.
Bamidbar.
Okay, let's go that way. Oh, hello. That's from the Nesiim, right? Yom. Hello, Moshe. Lakim Samishkan. Right. Okay. So that's correct. That's in Naso. Okay. So Vayhi Yom. Hello, Moshe. Lakim Samishkan. Vayim Shachus of Gedesh. So it's called Gilav. Right. So it's on the day that Moshe finished setting up the Mishkan. That's when the Nesiim started bringing all their gifts. When is that? Aleph Nisan, right? And that's, by the way, one of the interesting debates as to when the Yom HaShmini was. Was the Yom HaShmini the eighth day of Nisan, because Moshe set up the Mishkan on the first of Nisan, which is described in Parshas Pekudei? Or is it the first of Nisan, and that when it says that Moshe put up the Mishkan on the first of Nisan, that was the last time that Moshe put it up, and that the 7 days prior were the last days of Adar? Okay, so that's an interesting debate. We'll leave it for what it is. But the point is that what's being suggested by the Rechaim is that when Yom Kalos Moshe Elokim Sam Mishkan, that when Moshe finished setting up the Mishkan, what does it mean? Not just that he finished setting up the Mishkan, he finished being involved in the Mishkan, right? He's done. Moshe was a Kohen Gadol for 7 days, comes the eighth day, and who's the Kohen Gadol now? Aaron, and not Moshe anymore. Okay, and that also could be very, very painful. So that's also indicated for our Chaim. Okay. Now, I put the next part in italics, because I wanted to save the time. But the main thing that you have to get out of what he says regarding Aaron, he focuses on how the fact that Aaron gets this Egel ben Bakar l'chatas, that Aaron's sin offering is an Egel. Right? He talks about the concept of kateger yasis and ein kateger yasis and eger, right? That the prosecutor can't become the defendant, right? Aaron is coming in, he's on behalf of the Jewish people, and then if he starts bringing all this stuff, then he has to become the defense attorney, right? So that's why he's not allowed to bring gold, for example, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because it's reminiscent of the gold from the golden calf. And but here Aaron's bringing an ego. Right? If Aaron's bringing an ego, what's God going to say? Wait a second, ego, click, 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 Aaron, click, 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 ego, Aaron, blah, blah, blah. Ah, Aaron, you're bringing an ego? You're the ego guy. You're the one who made the ego. So the Aruch Chaim says that is proof positive that guess what Aaron did not do? Make the ego. Okay, make the ego. When Moshe comes down from the mountain, Moshe yells at Aaron, he says, what like, what the nation do that you made this happen? And Aaron says, I gathered the gold, I admit that. I threw the gold in the fire, and the ego came out. And it's fascinating, by the way, I just happened to look up in the translation that Arya Kaplan has in his Living Torah, because he says something fascinating. You remember the pasuk there that it says that Aaron gathers the gold. You can look it up if you want. It's Shemos chapter 32. So it says Aaron gathered gold, and vayikach miyadam vayatzar oso bacheret vayaseu egel masecha. Okay, and he took it from their hands. And how would you translate vayatzar oso bacheret? Okay, anybody?
Say this again.
Vayikach miyadam, he took it from their hands, vayatzar oso bacheret. Ches resh tes. Okay, well, vayatzar means to form, right? To shape. Yeah. So what's a cheret? So it's a good question. Okay, it's not a very common word. So I'm not looking at the article right now, although, you know, I'm sure they have their translation. I didn't look it up. But Rabbi Arya Kaplan says, listen carefully, because vayikach miyadam means he took it from them. Who took it from them? The gold. Aaron. Aaron took the gold. Vayatzar oso bacheret, presumably, that who did this yitzira? Who did this forming?
Aaron.
Listen to Kaplan's translation. He took the rings from the people and had someone form the gold in a mold, casting it into a calf. So cheret, fine. Well, micha is a different. Micha is a different. Micha, not the gold, but the incantation. Okay. So, but the point is that what Kaplan is doing is he's saying that had someone form the gold in the mold. But is Arya Kaplan making this up? So he has an asterisk. An asterisk, of course, means footnote. And what does it say in the footnote? Which pasuk is it? Form in the mold. Sadia, Ibn Ezra, Ibn Janach, Radak, Shirashi. That all of those, that's the way they translate it. I didn't have a chance to look all of them up, but he's pretty thorough and he did his homework. That the Vayatzar is not referring to Aaron, it's referring to somebody else. Then he gives another possibility, or he formed it with a goldsmith's tool, which is Rashi, or bound in a sheet, also Rashi. So I guess Rashi has two opinions there. Okay, but the point is that Vayatzar oso bacheret is something, but what the Aruch Chaim is saying is that whatever Aaron did, he didn't make the actual egel. Okay, that we saw, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, somebody who, in those two commentaries that we had, where it's the Ksava Kabbalah and the Kliakros, I don't remember, but one of them made the argument that Aaron made a little model to kind of say, hey guys, this is something, you know, we may want to think about. But he didn't make the actual ego, okay? Which is anyway. But this is the idea which he sticks to, that Aaron's role in the Egel is complete innocence. That Aaron was not at fault, and he certainly did not bow down to the Egel. Certainly had no intention that the Egel is anything replacing Moshe, replacing God. Moshe, Aaron says Chagla Shemachar. He says Chagla Shemachar. I mean, there's Aaron. Anyway, but my point is that the Or HaChaim, in looking at Kach Lecha Egel, right, the whole, because his antenna is going up and saying, wait a second, Enka Teger Nasis an Eger, how on earth can Aaron bring an Egel? Aaron can't bring gold into the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom Kippur because of this concern, the Egel Azav. But what's the difference? When Aaron goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim, who's he representing? Everybody. So to bring in gold, even though it's on him, he's representing everybody. But what's this egel meant to do? Kach lecha. This is your personal karban chatas. It's an egel. The Bnei Yisrael, what's their chatas? It's the next pasuk. Seirizim. Seirizim. So they have a goat. Why? Well, because it can't be an egel. It can't be an egel. Okay, so that's really what he talks about in Pasuk Beis, the two paragraphs which I put in italics. Okay, now remember, Rel Bnei Yisrael Tadaber Li Moros. We saw that pasuk, and that instruction is Moshe telling Aaron that you are going to talk to the Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so Aruch Chaim says, why? Why is Aaron talking to the Bnei Yisrael? Moshe is good enough, isn't he? Moshe does a lot of talking in the Torah. Moshe spends a lot of time talking to the Bnei Yisrael. So why Aaron? Okay, so take a look. We are now on the top of page 2. Okay? To daber li mor. Tzarchadas matami daber kan Aaron li yisrovel le Moshe, arugil. Why is Aaron going to be the one speaking and not Moshe? V'ulai, maybe, kitzad sha'amar lahem l'mizahav isparaku. The Gomer, right? That goes back to the Egel. What did Aaron say to the people? Aaron is the one. Yeah, he may have been innocent, But Aaron did plant seeds, maybe unintended, maybe in innocence. But Aaron said, "Who has gold?" Right? Because, meaning, one of the pervading themes of those who defend Aaron in the golden calf scene is they say that Aaron was looking to stall, okay, to push off. Right. And if you read through it carefully, you can see not just days but weeks. In all, it's 8 psukim, right? The whole golden calf thing. Not even right from the beginning of that chapter until. Yeah. Until Vayakumu Litzachek is 6 psukim.
But that goes against Moshe being a day late. Then you're talking about he's a week later or 2 weeks later.
No. It doesn't. Moshe, the pasuk at the end of Mishpatim tells us that Moshe was in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? That goes back into the whole question is what the pasuk of Vayara Ki Boshesh Boshet Laredes Menahar. We know, because the Torah tells us that he was going to be up there for 40 days and 40 nights. Moshe did not tell people how long he was going to be up there for. So the idea of Voshesh Moshe, what does that mean? We've talked about it in the past. You have to look at last year's class because the Aksava Kabbalah had a fascinating, and it's online, you can look it up in Y Torah. But he had a fascinating discussion about Voshesh Moshe, which I can't recount now. But it could have been at any point in time where they realized Moshe's not coming back down. Okay, and so they say, well, we're left without a leader. What's going on here? I mean, it's nice that we're here, but we need to move on. So, but Aaron's saying, no, it's gonna happen. Now, of course, that lends itself to a certain joke about, I'm not going to record. Sorry. Okay. Anyway, so but the whole point is that he's defending Aaron in every stretch of the way. But now he's saying, but because Aaron had a role in getting the gold gathered, okay, the same mouth that, I don't want to say dug their grave, but the same mouth that put them into a troublesome situation, in a way, is going to bring kapara to them. Okay, through a goat. Hapesha asar, hapesha yitir. Right? The one that made them bad is the one who's going to bring them out of it. Ukvar kasavnu, bekam mekomos, devrei razal, ki achet yafil hagnai bimkomo. What's gnai? Denigration, right? That the sin brings about the denigration in its place. Vatikun tzarech lios mechuvan kenegdo. And the fix, right, the correction needs to come opposite some way, but in other words, but ideally from the same person. Vom wrote to daber lemor, perish to daber, dibur, sheyeshbo mala uzchus, kenege dibur, shehoyebo, hashvela, sheparabo asa'am. Okay, remember what happened at that time? It's interesting. I wish Aaron had said Vaydaber, but he didn't. I don't know if that really makes a difference. I mean, it should make a difference, but we don't have the word Dibur there. Yeah. Aaron Parakun is Meazahav. Yeah, he doesn't say Vayaron, but he was Vayikra Aaron. Yeah, you don't have Dibur there. So I mean, I guess he's just using the word Dibur, not as Dibur like we sometimes say Dibur Blush and Kasha or whatever, but he's saying that there's a speaking there and a speaking here. And he's not focusing on the difference in verb between Amira and Dibur. Od nira, ki letzad she'ola Aaron b'mala nifla alaz b'tol kol Yisrael, bo b'char Hashem, zemar I love Moshe, she'idaber l'Yisrael. So on the one hand, it's Aaron who has to bring the kapara, because Aaron, you know, in a way was responsible for getting them to a point where they brought themselves down. But there's another thing to be said, the fact that Aaron has been raised up. And that's why Moshe is saying that he should speak to the Bnei Israel, Amiros Rachos, right? Soft speakings. Vuomro Lemor, El Bnei Israel to Daber Lemor. So now he is making a distinction between Dibur and Amira, even though it does say to Daber. So I mean, I don't know how he gets around that. But, you know, he's just focusing on the Lemor. Okay, because that's typically the difference which is made between the language of Daber, Dalabez Reish, which is understood to be something, a lashon kasha, a harsh kind of speaking, whereas aleph mem resh, to say or to speak, is something softer. Right? And the classic example of that, I think I noted a few weeks ago, is Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav, Ani Hashem, Va'ira. Right? It's the first pasuk in the parshas Va'ira, and I think I saw it in the name of the Chassam Sofer, that he says, why do you have Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav? You have Dibur and Vayomer. And he says that the reason why God started to speak to Moshe with Dibur was because he was upset at Moshe. Remember the last pasuk in the previous parsha in Shmos is where Moshe says, "Why'd you send me?" And God says, I got this, man. This is what I told you was going to happen. So Vaydaber Elokim Moshe. Why does he switch to Vayomer? The Chasam Sofer says, because he looks at Moshe and sees that Moshe is in pain because the Bnei Israel have harder work. And he says, okay, you know what? Your complaint is legit. It's not about you. It's about the people. So that's why he switched from Dibur to Amira, right in that case. Okay, anyway, so here he says, because today Hashem appears to you. Perush kol musag v'chol ratzon ena el tzad Yisrael. Komro aleichem v'loli. Okay, in other words, it's a similar kind of idea. That why is there an amira here? Because who are we concerned about? What are we worried about? All of Bnei Yisrael. That's who Aaron is supposed to be speaking to. It's not about you. It's not about me. Chederek shem etzim shamar Moshe Yisrael lo kol zeh shayu Yisrael nezufim lo yibar Hashem Moshe ki kol musag enu el tzad malas Yisrael. Right, that all the time there's this thing about how much how Hashem communicated with Moshe over the time that they were in the Midbar for 38 years, and he didn't. What is it? It's a pasuk in the beginning of Devarim, by He Kasher Tamu Kolanshei Am. Right, when all the people who died, then by Yomer Hashem Elayli more than Hashem spoke to me again. Okay, in other words, that you have a lot of Vayidaber over the course of the book of Vayikra and Bamidbar, but you don't get an Amira, Vayomer Hashem Elai, until the whole generation is gone. Okay, anyway, so there you see that distinction between Dibur and Amira. Okay, and of course, it's all depending on the context of what's taking place in the context of the worship. Okay, next, so Pasuk Hey. Vayichu Eis Asher Tziva Moshe El Panei O Moed Vayikravu Kol Ha'ida Vayamdu L'Pnei Hashem. So they took that which Moshe had commanded to the front of the O Moed, or the Mishkan, and Vayikravu Kol Ha'ida Vayamdu L'Pnei Hashem. So Kol Ha'ida Vayikravu, what does it mean? And they came close, right? Vayikravu could also mean, and they brought, you know, an offering, because that's the verb which is used to describe a korban. It probably means they came close, because vayamdu, vayikrivu kol ha'ida, vayamdu, I just lost the pasuk, vayikrivu kol ha'ida, vayamdu v'nei Hashem, and they stand before Hashem. Yeah?
If you want to talk about it in vayakrivu, not vayikrivu.
Yeah, that could be true. Yeah, I wonder. I have to think about that. Vayakrivu, unless that's more specific. You may be right. Vayakrivu versus Vayakrivu. Okay. All right. I'll accept that. Okay. Anyway, so it's a Shetiva Moshe. So the Or Chaim says, okay, again, we're continuing where we left off. We're now, where are we? The second paragraph on page 2. Vayikrivu, Amar Asher Tziva Moshe Yechavein El Aaron. What do you mean? Didn't Aaron? We just went through this whole thing about how Aaron's the one who's talking to them. So what do you mean that they did that which Moshe commanded? Yechavein El Aaron. Gam Ken Kishalakach Yis Asher Tziva. Didn't Aaron instruct them? So it must be referring to that which Aaron said. V'eni Yotzim Ashmos Ma'asi Yisrael Shekam Shmipi Aaron Nemru Lehem Advarim Aaron Atzmo, Mipi Moshe Amram. He says, look, the fact of the matter is that whatever Aaron told him to do, Aaron told him because Moshe told him. Right? V'ilo marakas v'shetziva Aaron im mashma el l'kichas Yisrael v'lo l'kichas Aaron. So if the pasuk had said that which Aaron had commanded, then it would only be referring to that which the Bnei Yisrael took, but not what Aaron did. So basically what we're seeing here is that there's a concept of Mesorah here. I mean, it's small scale, right? Aaron's, you know, Moshe is right behind him, telling him what to say, and Aaron is doing it, but clearly he's getting it from a source. Okay, even though it's not coming from Moshe's lips to the people, but it is coming from Moshe. So, and that's the reason why we're doing it. So, if you look back on the pasuk, What happens? Vayomer Moshe Aaron, Krav HaMizbeach. No, hold on, I got the wrong pasuk. Sorry, pasuk Vav. Call it Vayomer Moshe. Ze Adavar Shetzivah Hashem Ta'asu V'Yeiru Aleichem Kavod Hashem. Moshe says, "This is the thing Hashem has commanded for you to do." What's this thing? What is this thing? Ze Adavar. What is that? What's the thing? Tzarech Das Ma Adavar. Rashi Pirush Al Krav As Aaron. That what this thing is that which Aaron does. Ein Zipshad. Ma'amar HaKasu, he says, that's not, it doesn't really follow. Shamar Ta'asu, right? Ze'adavar, she'tzivu Hashem Ta'asu. If it's what Aaron did, then it wouldn't be Ta'asu. Ze'adavar, she'tzivu Hashem La'asu. So whatever. This is Ta'asu that you guys have to do. You, the nation. V'nir she'chavin l'mar l'maisa she'zikur HaKasu b'samuk t'chsiva yikrivu kol ha'idah v'yamdu l'vnei Hashem. So he says, maybe Ze'adavar refers to that which just took place in the previous pasuk. That everybody came and they stood before God. So the pasuk was careful and says that they stood before Hashem and not in front of the Olmoid. What's the pasuk? Where is it? Right, that's the pasuk, presumably. Okay, that's the part which I underlined. I didn't underline it on your page, but I underlined it in my notes. Okay, what is the point? What's going on here? The people are getting ready. Remember, this is the inauguration of the Mishkan. The inauguration of the Mishkan is a big moment where the people are essentially, right, if you want to talk about when, you know, we could talk about the conversion of Bnei Israel at Sinai. We could talk about it. But the fact of the matter is that they get away from Sinai. They're still at Sinai. But they get away from the experience of Sinai and they can't actualize too much of what has been given to them. I mean, yeah, they can do all the Bein Adam L'Chavero stuff. But then the Bein Adam L'Makom stuff, there's nothing to do. When does Moshe finally come down from the mountain with all the right on Yom Kippur? So technically we can say he's already coming down on Yom Kippur. Can they really do Yom Kippur? You know, probably not. Can they do Sukkot? I mean, good luck finding Lulav and Esrog, right? I mean, that's not really a possibility. So what do we have between that time and this time? They spend building the Mishkan. So it's all getting ready to be able to fulfill the word of God, to be able to fulfill the word of the Torah. Okay, and they can't really bring karbanos because there's no place to bring karbanos. So this is all preparation, and the entire nation has been involved. And we saw this in Truma Tetzava, and especially by Yagam Gudei, where everybody's involved. Everybody's bringing donations, everybody's kochach melei, all the people are involved. So now, this moment is the moment when people are, like, they've been looking forward to. I mean, what is all the preparation for the Mishkan? And then it's the first, I remember the first Shabbos we were in this building. We didn't make it into a huge spectacle, but it was special. It was special. We've been living in it. We've been using this little house, and we don't really fit in it anymore. Now we're in this big place, and boom, right, the shul exploded since then. It's a big moment. But you got to be prepared for that. And for them, we've been davening in the shul for a long time, and we've been davening our whole lives, so, it's easy. Kav Yachol. These people, nothing, never. So how do you prepare your mind for that? And that's what he's saying. You tell them, "Shechinu atzmam be'erach hashleimus v'muskam, v'erach hasamidas hashlev ne Hashem." That's what he's saying. He's saying, "Vayichu es Hashem, vayom Moshe zadavar shetivar Hashem ta'asu." This is what God has said for you to do. V'yirah lechem kvar Hashem. What's this davar that you are prepared, that you're ready, that your mind has been adjusted, that you are, that you have this shleimus about you? This muskal, remember, another thing which they had to purge themselves of was everything related to the golden calf. What a horrible stain on their collective history. Okay, he says that what is the pasuk? I have God before me always, and that's what they are expressing here in their experience. Okay. They're not standing in front of the Olmoid because it's not about the Mishkan. They're standing before God. Okay, and that is you know that is essentially the idea that he has here. And then the next line, ki ein yeshiva sadum tunasof yeshiva sadum v'nei melech umikol shken v'nei melech malchim lachim. The way that a person stands, you know, in front of a building is not the way you stand in front of before a king, and certainly not before the King of Kings. This is what Hashem has commanded. This is what Hashem has commanded for you to do, which is shetiyu tamid marichim v'da'atechem ki atem omdim v'nei Hashem. That what is it? Zeh davar shetziva Hashem. Right. What's the next line? The next words. Zeh davar shetziva Hashem ta'asu v'yera aleichem kvar Hashem. So it's doing both. The last words before it were vayamdu l'vnei Hashem. And what are the words afterwards? V'yira aleichem kvar Hashem. He says that is what your job is always. You stand before God, and the glory of God appears before you. That is your job, Am Yisrael. Which I think is just, you know, an incredible reminder that we need to have all the time about what our job is. And that's what the next paragraph is as well. I skipped a little bit, but I gave it to you. Achein. Did I give you Achein?
Yes.
Achein. Yeah. So Achein, same thing. Hakavanahi al orlas libam, right? The idea of the circumcision of the heart, meaning cut out the crap, forgive my French, let God in. That is what the orlas lev is. The orlas lev is the seal on top of the heart that prevents a person from connecting to God. So the removal of the orlas lev comes from a person's recognition that this is my God. This is my God. So that's the little mussar that we get from the way Moshe is talking to the people. Okay, now we're going to skip. That's all I'm going to do in this section here. I just thought those were nice, important messages to walk away with in terms of what the Mishkan is supposed to be for the people. And then we continue with Perek Yud. Okay? Perek Yud. So in the Chumash, it's page 592. Vayichu b'nei Aharon, Nadav v'Avihu, Yishmach, and so Nadav and Avihu, they each take a fire pan. Vayinu b'hen eish, they put fire on it. Vayisimu ala ketores, and they put ketores on it. Spices. Vayakrivu l'fnei Hashem. Yigar Abedesowski, right? Vayakrivu l'fnei Hashem. Gesundheit. Okay. Vayakrivu l'fnei Hashem, and they bring a akrava, right? They burn something before God. Eish zara. Strange fire. Asher lo tzivosam, that he had not commanded them. Ateitze eish l'fnei Hashem. Fire goes out from before God. Vatochal osam, and it consumes them. Vayamusu l'fnei Hashem, and they die before God. Yomer Moshe Aaron. Moshe says to Aaron, "Who Asher Diber Hashem Lemor?" Okay, now, who?
Who?
Who? What does it mean? Who? This is what God said. Okay, why don't you say Ze? I don't know. Asher Diber Hashem, that Hashem said, saying, "Bikrovai Kadesh," that I will be sanctified. Bikrovai. What does Bikrovai mean?
Those who are close to me.
By those who are close to me. Okay. Or it's another way to translate Bikrovai. With my relatives. Now, God doesn't have relatives, okay? But maybe Moshe is saying that this is what God is saying, that Bikrovai, with my relatives, Ekadesh, I, God, will be sanctified. Interesting. And on the face of the people, I will be honored by Yidom Aaron, and Aaron is quiet. Okay? This story is just, I mean, it is just heavy, yeah.
No, I read this past week that when it means he was quiet, Aaron was quiet, is that he was told in advance, and he was reluctant to accept the kahuna. One of the reasons he was reluctant to accept the kahuna is because he was informed that his two children would die.
Right.
And so this was a reluctance on his part.
Yeah, so there's a lot about that. There's a lot about that.
No,
there's a lot about that. We saw something. I saw something. I don't remember if it was in this class. I saw something a couple weeks ago where there was an indicator in the pasuk where it talks about the role of Elazar and Itamar, and Nadav and Avihu are glossed over. I mean, they're skipped, and it's like a premonition that they're not going to be present anymore. And there's a lot about that, about Aaron, you know, and the guilt that Aaron probably felt or may have felt. And that's one of the reasons, well, we're about to see why Moshe comes along and says to Aaron, this has nothing to do with you. You know? Right. You know, because, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth. Let's see what he says, because it's, because, you know, I mean, Look, I can't imagine what I spoke about this last year as my sermon. I talked about the deaths of Nadav and Avihu from the perspective of Elisheva. You know, that's their mother. Like, what was her experience like? Okay, and there's a Gemara in Tzvachim and a number of Midrashim. They all kind of say the same thing, but you know, we kind of lose sight of that because Aaron is so. He's just quiet. He doesn't really respond. And Moshe has to come along and do this. And what is Moshe trying to do? Is Moshe completely unaware of what's taking place here? I mean, you know, he seems to be saying, "Hey, Aaron, awesome." I mean, you know, it's almost the way he's coming across. And the Or HaChaim, you know, certainly doesn't go that route. He thinks that Moshe was very deliberate in what he was saying, and he understood. You know, there's a lot of psychology going on here. And so let's work our way through it. Let's work our way through it because, you know, it's not the kind of thing that you want to skip. You want to take your time. So we're on page 3, and we're going to go through the entire page 3, and 3 and 4 until we get to Yud Aleph. And if we have time to do this stuff in Perek Yud Aleph, then we'll do it. Otherwise, if this takes us to the end, then so be it. Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav Avihu yirtzeh odia makom ta'usam shilu be'yisibos. Says that, now we have to understand what their error was. What was the mistake which they made? Okay. Right? The pasuk says, "Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav and Avihu." What do you mean, b'nei Aaron? We know who Nadav and Avihu are. To say, "Vayichu Nadav and Avihu," we know that. He says the fact that they're b'nei Aaron says that they were driven by the tava of being a kohen. What is the tava of being a kohen? I want to serve God. Okay. What's Or HaChaim's first point? That these guys are high level, okay? That they are gedolim. What's driving them? Now they made an error, right? What does the pasuk say? Eish zara. They shouldn't have brought that fire, okay? They went above and beyond what they were supposed to do. Now, we know that the lo yavo. What's the word? Okay, not Lo Yavo Zar Lo Yikrav, whatever it is. There's a time and place for going into the Kodesh HaKadashim, and this was not that time and place. Okay, so that's their mistake, but they were driven by a kind of passion, which is admirable at the very least. Beis, Hayosim Gedolim B'Maaseh Shkulim Eim K'Moshe V'Aaron. That they were great, and they are viewed as equals with Moshe and Aaron. As the Chazal say in Taras Kohanim, and the Zohar Kadosh show you b'madriga gedola mitzad ma'aseh, that they were in an even higher level. The Zeh Omro Nadav Avihu, and that's why they're mentioned by name. Okay, Nadav and Avihu. Because who are they? They are Nadav and Avihu. Okay, it wasn't all of Bnei Aaron. Bnei Aaron who were Kohanim, but it was only Nadav and Avihu. Why? B'china zo eina be'elazav yisama. Okay? Elazar and Yisamar did not have whatever these amazing qualities that Nadav and Avihu had. Shigam Shem and Aaron, Einlam Madrig Mitzad Atzmom K'Nadav Avihu. Right? On their own, they did not pass muster in getting up to whatever level of Nadav and Avihu were at. Chayn Tim Tzad Shadar Shazal, Mashkas Vaktov Moshe Elazar, Anosarim, etc. Later on in the chapter, we're not going to have the time to read it now, but Moshe gets angry at Elazar and Itamar for eating some meat that they weren't supposed to eat. Moshe instructed them, and they weren't supposed to, right? And they ate it. I'm sorry, they were supposed to, and they didn't eat it, okay? And they didn't eat it because they were onanim, because they didn't have the time to bury Nadav and Avihu. And Aaron even has to remind Moshe that, hey, Moshe, it would not have been appropriate for us to eat the meat at this time. And Moshe got angry before he remembered that halacha, okay? But the way that the Torah describes them is banav anosarim, the leftover ones. And nosar, we also had this last year in the difference between nosar and nishar. Nishar means leftover for good. What's nosar? Nosar means leftover for bad. So what does that mean about Elazar and Yisamar? In simple terms, they just weren't at the same level as Nadav and Avihu. Okay? Yonsham Devarayim, because that, Nikmasu, Dikdikuli Kanesh, Neim Yachad, Lagdil Zchusam. They went together to make their Zchus even greater. And they didn't think it was appropriate to take fire from the Zbeach. Amru ulai ein roi l'kachas mimena el l'taras achiv. Zeh v'yumi v'chutz. Says maybe, right, because they knew they weren't bringing the right k'taras. The k'taras that they're supposed to bring goes on the Zbeach of the k'taras. These Torahs, these spices, they wanted to bring it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies. And they said, look, the fire from the Mizbeach goes into one place. So we can't bring the fire from the Mizbeach. It's the wrong fire. So we need to bring a different fire. Okay? Error, because it's an Esh Zarah. It's not allowed here. You can't bring this. But they were trying to do, in other words, they were trying to follow the halacha, right? That's why they didn't bring the fire, which they knew was in the wrong place. So how else are you going to burn the Torah in the Kodesh HaKodashim? If you can't bring that fire, well, you got to bring a different fire. Right, they said that they placed on it strange fire. Chozer al Eish, here's Kibasamuch, Leoshak Parayi al Eish Zara, Zekina Bamaisa. Okay, so the focus is on what they did wrong, which was the strange fire. Zara Asher Lotziva, strange, which was not commanded, Perush. Mai Zerusa Asher Lotziva Hashem. So what made it a strange fire? That it hadn't been commanded. Maybe they were wrong. Maybe had they taken fire from on the Mizbeach, God would not have been as upset. Maybe God would have been, you know, strict with them, but in a different way. Right? The fact, what made it Zara more than anything, is that God did not command it. Is that God did not command it. And so, you know, that, by the way, is an important rule in religious zealotry in general. I remember once, as a teenager, I served as a, there were two mincha minions in the shul. So they let me be the gabbai of their early mincha, which was upstairs in a smaller room, it's better. So I remember once, maybe I was in college, I don't remember, and I met this guy who I knew was had come to religion, you know, he was not what we would call an FFB. And he was there, he was visiting the town for Shabbos, and he had already davened mincha for whatever reason, and they were having this mincha, and somebody asked him to daven, and he said, I davened already, but I'll daven again, okay? And somebody said to him, you davened already, you don't daven mincha twice. He says, why can't I daven mincha twice? And I remember thinking, we don't do that. we don't do that. I mean, you can pray to God all you want, but, you know, we just, like, formalize mincha, we don't do. And in general, you know, the problem here is that their fervor for religion was taken to an extreme. That's why it's Eish Zara Asher Lo Tzivosam. They weren't commanded to do. You know, Lahavdil, one of my favorite anecdotes about Rav Amital, Zecharno Lebracha, is that somebody asked him why he was not makbir for a certain chumrah in the Mishnah Berurah, and he said something to the effect of, I'm not holy enough to do that chumrah. Okay, and it's, you know, it's an important thing to remember that just because there's a chumrah out there doesn't mean that it's something which God commanded, and therefore take everything in stride.
So then the other brothers later on, Moshe got angry at him because they were Nostrum, I guess they weren't as a higher level, they weren't held at a higher level.
Well, he got angry at them because he made a mistake. He forgot that, you know, maybe an Onan shouldn't be eating that meat. But that's, you know, that's one of the, there are six or seven examples of that in the Torah where Moshe forgets Allah and somebody has to remind it to him. Anyway, by Musa lefnei Hashem, ulai shir most tam yisasam, maybe it's hinting to us why they died, shu lahavchid liyarei min ha-mishkan b'rosam es elu shekarvu lefanav mesu. Now what is it? It's actually, I mean, lahavchid means to frighten, right? Somebody who's afraid of the Mishkan. So, I mean, is that the idea? To give awe? Yeah, I'm sorry. So somebody who has awe of the Mishkan to strike fear in them? Oh, I mean, what does that mean? That people should realize and recognize that they have to serve as a lesson? That's why they die? I don't know. I find that very hard to accept. Oh, dear Moses, kimisa somehow ya mashikada mehem lashem. Aderek mamaram, shemisa somehow ya lamashikada mehechazu asalim mehem mehem atzilevin Israel. Now that's a little easier to follow. Okay, remember that episode at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, where Nadav and Avihu, they climb up the mountain, they look up and they see a vision of God, and the Pasuk says at the time, Etzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalachido, that God did not strike down the Etzilei b'nei Yisrael. We know the rule, lo yirani adam v'chai, you can't see God and live. Now the Arachayim explained that, by the way. We talked about that at the time, that they didn't, you know, he doesn't accept that they saw God, they saw something else, okay? But there is that viewpoint that Nadav and Avihu die here for what happened in Parshas Mishpatim. It was just delayed. Okay, now, again, what does that even mean? Okay, so I'm not You know, there are more questions than answers. Honestly, the whole idea that we try to figure out what they did wrong, you know, I think it's the.
The usual excuse that they were intoxicated
or something. Right. So I was about to say it's the Or HaChaim who gives a whole list, but it's not here. The Or HaChaim gives a list of all the sins that everybody says Moshe Rabbeinu did in the Mei Meriva story. So he does not do that here. There are those who summarize the many different sins which are assigned to Nadav and Abihu. He doesn't accept that. Okay. He says Eish Zara Lo Tziva Osam. That's the issue. Okay, and what that means and how that translates to and repercussions and what people are supposed to take from it and what Aaron's experience is and what Moshe explains, that's what we want to take from the story. We don't want to start analyzing how these guys were sinners. Because they were not sinners. They were mala mala. They were just above and beyond. Okay, and you just can't take that away from them. Who asher diber Hashem? Tzarech ladas kavanasam rohu. What is Moshe talking about? He says, who asher diber Hashem? Beis Amro Lemor Mashma Shetziva Hashem Lemor Imkein Lema Lo Amar Adata. Right? It seems to imply Moshe says, "Ah, this is what Hashem said was going to happen." Uh-huh. When did God didn't say Bikrovaya Kadesh? That's Moshe's language here. Now we know that God has said something, but he says Vishigayon Zed Damo Lishigayon Asaras Shabbos Shalotziva B'Shato Adachakach. Remember when the people they're going to collect the mun on Shabbos, and Moshe says, "Ah, who are Shadibar Hashem?" Right, this is what God said. There's Shabbos. When did God say there's Shabbos? Right, I mean we know with two portions, but the details were not really spelled out. Moshe tells it to the people when they're in the moment, and maybe it's after the fact. V'shamat sima lo tamim maspikim. Like Moshe had not been told to tell it to the people, or maybe he had, we just weren't told it. I'm skipping to the end of the line. Masha Enki, Masha Lefanenu, Sha'amar Lemor, Razamatim Lahem, Hu Aaron, Ahari Aaron, rather, Omed Betomai Omar, Vilmer, Oi Li Kach Avera Biyadi Biyabani, Banai rather, Shkachi Katani. Right? That the Torah's Kohanim says that what's Aaron doing? He's blaming himself. He says, woe is to me, the sin that I have in my hand and in the hands of my sons, that this is what has befallen me. Nichlas Moshe etzlo. Moshe comes along by Mephiso, and Moshe says, no, Aaron, hold on a second. Aaron, achi, misinai ne'amar li asid ani l'kadei shabayis ba'adam gadol. God at Sinai told me that I'm going to sanctify this house with a great person. V'ayisi omer, and I was thinking, and I was saying to myself, Obi Obach, right? That it's either going to be me, Moshe, or you. Now, listen carefully to that phrase, Obi Obach, because the, you know, or you, or me, or you, right? That's how you translate it in English, in Hebrew, rather. But it's important to remember that phrase, because he's going to come back to that a lot. Obi Obach, Habayis Miskadesh. No, meaning it's either going to be me or it's going to be you, Aaron, that it, through which the house is going to be sanctified. Achshav nirtzu banecha gdolim mimenu mimecha. So what is Moshe saying? Aaron, do you realize what has happened? I thought it was going to be me or you. And now I realize that it's your sons. They, you know, I mean, not that I like to think of myself as a big stuff, but clearly your sons were greater. Okay. Now, you know, I don't know if that's comforting, but it's there has to be an element of nechama, an element of nechama. Okay, and of course Moshe is also denying Aaron's right to say it's my fault. You can't say it's your fault. You can't blame yourself. Davar acher vayom Moshe hu asher diber dibur zeh ne'amar l'Moshe b'Sinai. Maybe Moshe is saying this was told to me at Sinai. V'lo yada'ad sheba ma'aseh liyado, and he didn't really understand it. Until this episode happened, Amar lo Moshe la'Aron. So now Moshe says to Aaron, "Lo meisu b'necha el b'shvil kedush hashmo." So now Moshe is putting two and two together, and he's saying the reason why your sons died is to sanctify God's name. And shalmak shenemar, and it's based on the pasuk in Tetzaveh, "V'ne'arati shama l'vnei Yisrael v'nikdash b'chvodi." Okay, that's the closest thing we have to the concept of the Krovaya Kadesh, where God basically says, "I'll make an appearance there," basically. And there'll be a sanctification of my honor. What does that mean? hein shasak. So when God said, when Aaron realized rather that his sons were so intimate with God, he was quiet. Okay? It's hard to wrap the hand around. It's hard to wrap the head around. It's hard to understand this. But the tropes that are being sent to us through what the Aruch Haim is saying is that Moshe is giving chizuk. I mean, look, the bottom line is, as we know and understand, Nadav and Aviyah are gone, right? There's no way to bring them back. The question is, how does Moshe give comfort to his brother in the most tragic moment of his life, in the throes of that moment? Right? They can't even get them out. That's why they have to get Aaron's cousins to take them out, Mishael and El-Safan, because they're Kohanim. They can't become Tameh. They're allowed to become Tameh to another one of you, but not now. It's the Yom HaShmini. It's just the worst situation you could imagine on the human and emotional level. And Moshe is trying to say, Aaron, I mean, it's just a crazy flow of blood. What do you do with this? He's trying to help them through it. So remember, he went back to the question, what is the word who doing here? Okay, so what he's saying, the word who is, this is the reason for their death, because God had said something. I don't think it's Avono Hoyadavar, but maybe it's Avono. Not because of anything that you've ever done. It's because God wanted it. So it just goes back to this, the issue at hand. The Derech Beis, according to the second approach, right, it goes back to, it's basically Moshe having an aha moment. Because God had said something to Moshe, he didn't understand it, it never really appeared to us, or it was hinted to us in Parshas Tetzaveh, and now Moshe's like, ah, now I got it. Now I understand. Now I understand what v'nichdash b'chvodi means. So how does Moshe go from v'nichdash b'chvodi to b'krovai kadesh? Gam lo ne'emar lo sham davar v'lo le'mor dok v'tishkach. It's not like God, you know, explained and he said, you know, look, it's an issue, forget it. V'nisharu advarim b'leiv av Moshe stumim. It was just hidden. Moshe didn't understand. Ad shas ma'isa, until this moment. V'havinam, and he understood it. V'yamar hu asher diber Hashem elai. That's ah. Uma davar v'nikdash b'chvodi. So what was the thing that God had said? Madiber, rather, v'nikdash b'chvodi. V'omro le'mor, so what is he saying? Perish kavanas divrei Hashem v'omro v'nikdash b'chvodi hu lomar al ze aderech v'omro v'nikdash rutsano lomar b'krovai kadesh. She says, I didn't understand, why did I not understand what God meant? Because v'nikdash b'chvodi didn't make any sense to me. The idea that there is a sanctification of some kind, what sanctification? What could that even mean? And now Moshe is looking at what has happened, and he says that what he meant was b'krovai kadesh, that with the ones closest to me, I'm going to be sanctified. That's what v'nikdash b'chvodi meant. V'omro b'chvodi, hu al p'nei kol ha'am echaved, that on the face of all the nation, Echabed, I will be honored. So Moshe is now understanding what v'nikdash means. V'nikdash means b'krovai kadesh, and b'chvodi means al p'nei kol ha'am echaved. L'derech zeh nisyash v'kol diktukim. And through understanding that, now we can understand all the different approaches that have been outlined in terms of what the word who is coming to teach us. L'derech rishon adayin kasha mashek shinu. But I still don't completely understand, he says, the first approach. The first approach, remember, said that Moshe is saying that they died, you know, for God's reason and not because of anything that Aaron had done. Okay, I mean, that's not very helpful, the Aruch Haim is saying. I don't really understand that. Okay, v'la'amod al omek dvarav yesh la'ir omro obi obach. Shelo ha'yel olamar ela bi obach. He says, if you want to understand this deeper, you need to understand why Moshe is credited as having said O B Obach, that he uses the or before, and instead of saying, he could have just said me or you, B Obach, O Yamar Bach Obi, right? You or me. So he says, this is the answer. There are two issues at hand here. Okay, one is what?
They were higher.
Okay, that they right their level. That is bechinas hamaora shu amisa, and the other one is trying to come to grips with what happened. Right, what happened? Uchshabal omar es hasher evin mihu akarov asher yikadesh bo. And so now, when Moshe is coming to the grips of the reality of who the karov is through whom God is being sanctified. If Moshe says, "Hey Aaron, be obach, me or you, man," right? But listen carefully. The English is not very good. Be obach, right? Me, because I'm the big dude, or maybe it's you, because maybe you're the big dude. Okay, so. He says that's why he doesn't go that route. Okay, in other words, it wouldn't work if he did that. Okay, so he says it's or me or it's you. Okay, because the word o implies that maybe it's you, but it also implies that maybe
it's me.
And so the obi obach is actually essential. Because Moshe is equating himself with his brother, as opposed to possibly suggesting that there's a hierarchy. But if you were to flip things around and say it's you or me, right? You or maybe me, then you might be saying that Aaron, it's going to be you. You're a dead man. Okay? Ki hu yamus b'ashra shechina. Yes, asmo asa b'safek. And he would be making himself. You know, maybe me, but you're a dead man. The Zen is Chake Moshe, V'yamar Obi. Okay? And that's why Moshe was very wise. And he said, maybe it's me, right? Maybe it's better to translate the word O to be maybe. Obi, maybe it's me, maybe it's you. Higdim Atzmo, Tzabachinas Kabbalah Sepuranus. He said, maybe it's me, and I'll accept my fate. V'lo Bechleit, and not completely, K'dei Shelo Yikanez B'chashar Kimarach Atzmo B'erach Gadol Me'aron. But not. He's not saying, oh, it's definitely going to be me, because that might presume that he's saying that he's greater than Aaron. Okay, so he's basically equating them. Okay, so what Moshe seemed to understand, that it was only going to be one of them, and he just wasn't sure which one. Im kein lama mesu shnayim. So we still have an issue. If it was going to be Bikrovaya Kadesh, then it should be
either.
Right, one or the other. So why do we have two? The Od Minayin Lo Lomar Shem Gedolim Moshe V'Aaron. So, but where does Moshe get this idea that they have to be greater than that Moshe and Aaron? They can be equal or even not. They can be people who are close to God, but why does it have to assume to be the closest? Kevin Shelo Amar Hashem Ella Echad Mehem Umesu Shneim Nichnasu Makom Echad Mehem. Right, that you know, it just happened to be that the two of them went into the wrong place at the wrong time at the same time, and therefore, boom, they both died. But it didn't have to be two. Ve'ani yachal amar ella tovim abeis me'achad mehem. Right, tovim ashnayim min echad. Isn't that Koheles? Was that Mishlei? That the two are better than one. Achein akavanahu shekshamar lo Hashem v'nikdash b'chodi yada Moshe ki yamus me'hatzadikim. That when it said v'nigdash b'chodi, Moshe understood that of the righteous ones are going to die. El shesavar b'shir mashmos sadvarim b'omro v'nigdash b'chodi hu she'is kadesh b'ayis b'oso shu chvodi m'chubadai shu atzadik. So Moshe assumed that it meant him, right? One guy, and that's it. But he didn't want to, you know. But we already saw that he didn't want to make that into a big deal. L'fi zeh ein kan el tzadik echad, and that's why he assumed there's only one. He came mashma kvodi lashon yachid. Right? He thought Nikdash Kvodi means my honor. And my honor implies one. But he just wasn't sure if it was gonna be him or Aaron. So then he just mentions Obi Obach, as we've already seen. V'yachshav k'shira, k'meisu shnayim, chazar la'avin kavana samro v'nikdash b'chodi. But now that Moshe sees that two people have unfortunately died, he now understands what v'nikdash v'chodi actually means. She'enai kavana, she's kadesh, ubama b'chodi shulashan yachid. It doesn't mean that there's going to be sanctification b'chodi in the singular. Ela kavana hu al ze aderech b'krovai hekadesh, v'umro v'nikdash. Okay, b'krovai means in my closest ones, I'll be sanctified. And that is, it's not about the word kvodi, it's about the word v'nikdash. And what does the nun in nikdash imply?
Plural.
That when God says v'nikdash b'chvodi, God's referring to His own honor. God's singular, of course, but the nikdash is krovaya kadesh. That it means it's going to be plural. If you pierce that, lomar Hashem lashon yachid b'tzadikim, the singular was not about the righteous individual or individuals. Ki atzadikim nirmezu b'omro v'nikdash. Okay, the nikdash implies the plural. Bichvodi means in, for the sake of my own, meaning God's honor. And that's and the proof is because to die. And so Moshe says what he says. That, oh, this is what God intended, and he's trying to tell Aaron that he should not be sad. Okay, now we can get back to that thought in a moment. Perish to Hashem. Shein lomar perish kavanas amir esoi al ze aderech b'krovai apnei etc. L'shlo perish acher she'ischayev imenu lomar shlo yibus ela achad. So this is how he's explaining that it's not one that's going to die; it's going to actually be two. Okay, now does it work for Moshe to tell Aaron to not be sad? Again, you know, Aaron goes home after this, and I'm sure Aaron cried plenty. It's in the moment that Aaron is vayidom Aaron. It's numb, exactly. Trauma. So PTSD, right? So in the moment, Aaron is quiet. But to say that that's the end of it, I think that that's impossible. There's no way. If these were the greatest, you know, you can compartmentalize and say, oh, they're with God now. This is what God intended. It's fantastic. It's amazing. But you can't negate, you know, the human experience. And I'm sure that when the day was over, Aaron cried plenty. Okay, but what I wanted to I guess get out of that, and I do recommend if anybody wants it, because there were just nice little things about Kedusha with the animals in the last paragraph, which we're not going to do. But we just wanted to get out from here the Aruch Haim's perspective, and the main points that we saw. That Moshe is having an aha moment. He's now understanding something which wasn't clear to him before. He was confused about one versus two, but at the same time, he's trying to deal with his brother and the trauma that his brother is experiencing. You know, you can't undo the trauma. You can't. You can't. You can't turn back the clock. And it was. Is there a way to adequately prepare for this? I mean, was it helpful? Would it have been helpful for Moshe to tell Aaron, "Hey, you or I, you know, one of us is going to die this day"? I mean, did he even know what that was going to mean? It's not clear. Aruch Haim says he didn't know what it was going to be. So would saying that have been helpful? You know, I don't know. How do you prepare somebody for this? I don't know. Maybe you don't prepare somebody for it. You just kind of got to let the world ride, and then when it happens, you deal with the aftermath. And I think Moshe tried his best under the circumstances, and Aaron, you know, held it together under the circumstances so that God could be sanctified in whatever way that only God knows, and the B'nai Yisrael could have their precious day. I mean, remember that to me, what doesn't make any sense is the idea that Nadav and Avihu die here as opposed to at Har Sinai. Because what's the argument there? Because they didn't want to fashter Har Sinai. Okay, so they fashter this. You know, so I don't understand that argument either. To be honest, so there's a lot of tzarachiyun. But this is it's a very difficult chapter in the Torah to wrap our hearts around. So hopefully it's at least a perspective.